What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
I'd like to be a little makeshift bar right there, like Cheers.
Norm.
with a shot in my hand wrapped around
that's a good idea.
Big old Jack.
I don't hate that idea.
No right water, there. No ice.
That's very uplifting. I'd laugh. I'd be like, what's up, man?
Of course,
man?
Yeah, I know.
And then everybody, that you can just be at the bar while every open bar at your funeral.
And everybody's just sitting around talking. There I am, propped up.
That's having the time of his life.
I love that.
And people giving me shots, sliding the shot down there. I'm going to call my Will guy and say, let's prop me up at the bar.
Your Will guy.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh,
get them up, get them out. It is a Friday on B&E. Show of the people. Off we go. 4 hours of fun and conversation. And it's not just any Friday. It is a Friday the 13th edition of B&E. 50 days. Nice round number to the start of the college football season for the Texas Longhorns. 50 days to the game at Maryland. We'll continue to talk Texas football. The Big 12 media poll is out. Tell you where the Longhorns fall in that conversation. Pretty clear favorite in the Big 12, according to the media that covers the Big 12 Conference. Of course, Bucky and I will come live to you on Monday from Big 12 Conference Football Media Days in Frisco, Texas, just north of Big D, Dallas. We'll be up there on Monday and Tuesday. So a lot to dive into on this Friday. Plenty of conversation on the 13th, a ghoulish Friday on 104.9 on 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app or at hornfm.com. Mr. G.
All right. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you very much for your great job. It is appreciated. Your teachers get enough rest there because it's just around the corner. Speaking of ghouls, the little ghouls and goblins will be right back.
Why are you trying to ruin their summer, man?
I'm just telling them.
They're not awake.
It comes up quick on you.
They're not awake.
It does.
They're sleeping.
Yeah.
They're getting their time.
No, they're vacationing. They go places.
We always say early bird gets the worm. They're not up early.
This is not their
time off. No way.
No.
Shouldn't be. We are up, and hopefully you are up and ready to join us for a lot of conversation. I shouldn't say ghoulish. I don't know. You're not the most you are a pretty superstitious person, and I know, but Friday the 13th doesn't do much for you.
No, I'm superstitious, but not to a day.
No
specific day or number does.
But you're a number guy.
No, I'm a number guy.
Like 13.
I don't play it. I don't play it at the races when there's a number. Very seldom do I have a number 13 horse that I ever play.
Don't play, you know, hotels don't have the 13th floor.
I still don't get that, but I guess it's okay. But it doesn't really bother me. I don't, go under a ladder and stuff, like, step on a crack and all
that.
That
doesn't bother me.
The black cat thing does when I saw the same black cat 2 days in a row.
Well,
crossing the street at the same time. At the same time when I'm going to a certain place, the cat comes flying across the street in front of the car. That's weird.
I'll get you some details coming up on why Friday the 13th is known as a day of bad luck for people. Obviously, the famous movies starting in 1980, the Friday the 13th, I mean, how many did they make? Like 8, 9, 10?
Yeah, a bunch of those.
Bunch of those movies.
With Jason and Billy and all those
man,
people.
The first one was unbelievable. I was a little kid when that first one came out. Or I was 8 years old, 9 years old. Freaking crazy. I remember my brother and I watching that and dang near peeing our pants back in the day.
I can't even remember back to when Halloween came out.
I believe was before Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
But I know as I was growing up through the 80s, it was Friday the 13th, the Halloweens, and then Freddy Krueger. And the Nightmare on Elm Street
series.
No,
I didn't watch that series. I've never seen one Freddy Krueger movie.
Look out. But before that, Buck, was the one that you say you will never watch again, and that was The Exorcist.
Well, that'll never happen again. not even certain movies you see that now come on TV, bits and pieces, and you turn and watch. As soon as that comes on, I flip it. I just go somewhere else.
He gone. No way.
No.
That's one of those you see once, I'm good.
I'm good. I don't need to see it ever again.
Don't need to watch that again.
Ever.
I'm all right. I can move on from that. But, yeah, so scary movies will be a theme today. And here's another text that's already on our specs text line, 512-337-3776. Says we're just 3 weeks from the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
So 50 days to the Longhorns in Maryland and the start of the college football season in earnest, plus a couple of days away from Big 12 football media days and 3 weeks from the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, where Terrell Owens will not be.
No, he said he's not.
Be at Tennessee Chattanooga.
You know what the Hall of Fame said? Oh, that's okay. We're not mentioning you anyway.
He said, bye, Felicia.
Yeah, we're not even going to mention your name, which is smarter on their part. They said, we're going to deal with the people that are here.
That's right.
And that's what you're supposed to do, yeah.
Now, he'll go into the Hall of Fame. He'll have a bust and the whole bit, but you know, they're not going to recognize him if he's not going to bother to show up, which is his choice.
Kind of sucks for people that are in his family. I mean, I know he's very fond of his his grandmother's passed away, but I think he has a sister, and you know, for his sister not get a chance, you know, because that dude is, you know, not going to do it. That sucks.
Yeah, I think they're kind of like, hey, T.O., we'd rather go to like Canton and be a part of this than
Tennessee Chattanooga
gym. the gym at Tennessee Chattanooga.
Yeah,
but you know, either way, we're three weeks out to that great weekend, which means we're counting them down, and a lot to dive into on this Friday. Get you into your weekend. It's going to be 97 degrees today, 98 tomorrow. Looking,
it's going to feel like it's 110.
Yeah, sunny and really hot.
Heat index tomorrow.
Really, really hot this weekend. Humidity will rise. I'm actually headed to Houston this weekend, Buck, and you know it's going to be hot. I think I'm going to be at the Minute Maid Park tonight, taking in Astros Tigers.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's part of the plan. So
maybe they can get a win over for somebody.
Maybe. They certainly can't beat Oakland. Let's get you the news of the day. Get you caught up from the Ticket City Update Desk to start your Friday morning here on Vinny. Caliber Collision brings you the news, always from the Ticket City Update Desk. And we'll start with college football. As we mentioned, we'll be at Big 12 Football Media Days Monday and Tuesday. The media that covers the Big 12 in advance of those events coming up Monday, Tuesday have spoken. They have released the 2018 preseason Big 12 football poll, and according to the media, the Oklahoma Sooners are the clear favorite to repeat as Big 12 champions in 2018, as Oklahoma received 46 of the possible 52 first-place votes, and they are the pick to win the Big 12. Will Grier in West Virginia picked to finish second, followed by TCU, then Texas, then Oklahoma State, rounding out the top five. By the way, it appears the folks in Vegas a little more bullish on Texas than the Big 12 media. The online website Bovada as Oklahoma as the odds favorite to win the Big 12 in 2018, but Texas just an eyelash behind them for Tom Herman's Longhorns. According to their odds, the Longhorns were given a 3-1 chance to win the Big 12, plus 290. It would be their first conference title since 2009. Sooners are at 7-5, plus 135. Speaking of odds in Vegas, another online sports book now has the Toronto Raptors as the even money odds favorite as a landing spot for the disgruntled Spurs star Kawhi Leonard. Add to the mix that Raptors star forward DeMar DeRozan has scrubbed his social media accounts of all information, and there are those in the NBA and circles speculating that something may be in the works as far as a blockbuster trade involving two all-NBA forwards. We'll keep you posted. To baseball, I just mentioned Oakland A's late inning magic continued yesterday down in Houston, where the Astros bullpen continued to falter. Mark Canha's 2-RBI single in Oakland's 3-run eighth inning was the difference, as the A's beat the Astros 6-4 as a game Houston once led 4-0. Surging A's take 3 out of 4 from the first-place Astros. Oakland, by the way, leads Major League Baseball in runs scored in the seventh inning or later this season. They're now 12 games over .500. Houston will open a weekend series with Detroit tonight. Texas Rangers, who had last night off, will open a weekend set in Baltimore ahead of next week's All-Star break and Midsummer Classic coming up on Tuesday in Washington, D.C. Also in baseball last night, the sizzling Boston Red Sox made it 10 straight with a 6-4 dub over Toronto. Yankees kept pace with a win in Cleveland, and the great Albert Pujols continues to move into rarefied air. 2 home runs last night in the Angels' 11-2 win over Seattle. Pujols now ties Ken Griffey Jr. for 6th most all-time in home runs with 630. And that's the news.
This segment brought to you by Caliber Collision. No matter how it happened, Caliber Collision makes it like it never did. Rate among the highest in customer satisfaction, restoring the rhythm of your life. Caliber Collision.
As I was reading and writing up that Albert Pujols story, I was thinking, you know what? One of the bummer deals about LeBron James going to Los Angeles is he's going to be playing late at night. A lot. He's played 52 games this year late.
Yeah, you knew that.
I know, but I mean, I'm used to being able to watch LeBron in that early NBA slot.
In Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm watching LeBron in the Eastern time zone. 6 o'clock, I can watch LeBron. I'm not going to watch LeBron this year.
Well, that's what I was saying. But for
it's
those,
like Mike Trout all of a sudden.
For those who don't have the NBA package, that has to be cool for the NBA. Now, all of a sudden, people are going to go grab that package like crazy. Because they want to see LeBron. They'll want to watch him late on the West Coast.
And they're also NBA executives wondering, who the hell are we going to put in that early slot? We could always stick LeBron in there.
You're going to see enough of the Celtics and the Sixers to drive you out of your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to see those two teams like, geez.
But they only play four times. But they got to play other people. Who are you going to put in that
spot?
They Milwaukee.
Sometimes they would do the 6 and the 8 o'clock bit and get the like Texas or Central time zone teams in the later half. You might start seeing the Texas teams in the early slot.
Yeah.
Because they're in the Western
Conference,
at least.
Maybe with the Mavs, with their star, with their young star.
I mean, the Rockets would be one of the candidates.
Sure.
They'll still be one of the best teams, and we'll obviously see what happens with Kawhi and the Spurs, but you might start seeing more of those bits where Central teams play a little bit later.
We'll get into that Big 12 football media poll, but that bears a conversation because I mentioned in the headlines, but odds, it's now even odds of DeMar DeRozan. And DeMar DeRozan, like you used to go to his Instagram account or Twitter and it would say, you know, forward, Toronto Raptor. Oh, that's gone. It's gone. Like, he's anonymous, DeMar DeRozan. 28-year-old forward who's been a four-time All-Star. He's an All-NBA player, played on the U.S. Olympic team.
But community guy.
Yeah. I mean, this is a star player. But remember last year in the playoffs against LeBron, he didn't even play in the fourth quarter of some of those bigger games, which— They benched the dude, which maybe he's disgruntled about that. Maybe the Raptors and their ownership disgruntled about his performance in those big spots. And maybe there is a chance, you know, if the Spurs could trade Kawhi Leonard and land DeMar DeRozan and some quality assets to go with that, that wouldn't be half bad. You could do a heck of a lot worse than an all NBA.
Yeah, you get nobody
at the same position. Yeah, exactly. I mean, clearly the Spurs have to do something because, you know, or they're going to lose him next July for nothing. But if you could land an all NBA All Star type player at the same position to go with LaMarcus Aldridge and DeJounte Murray and then rebuild from there, who's under contract, that's not bad.
Well, yeah, because if you just come to the point that, you know, we are rebuilding and we're really not going to do anything in the West, neither is anybody else.
And we're
the
all
Warriors.
Playing for second place, right?
Yeah, but seriously, that's a great starting block. It's better to get him than get nobody start building from there.
Well, and, you know, Greg Popovich, of course, who's going to coach the USA, you know, basketball team, which that'll be interesting when he and Kawhi, if they do trade him, and they get back together. But he's coached DeMar DeRozan before, so maybe, you know, a coach like Pop and that organization can get more out of DeMar in big spots. I don't know what that situation is, but again, that would be all right. But I saw this, and as we talk about who's going to be in that early time slot for the NBA, Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, everybody knows him, on Twitter about a week or so ago, someone tweeted at him and said, if the NBA doesn't want to do a 1-16 in the playoffs, because we've talked about just getting rid of the conferences and ranking them, you know, 1-16, and that's how you do your playoffs because it is so one-sided now that LeBron's in the Western Conference. I mean, the best 5-6 teams may be in the West. How about, he says, this guy tweeted, how about move the Central Division of the West and the Southwest Division to the East? And Mark Cuban put, concur. So that would essentially mean moving the Rockets and Mavericks division to the Eastern Conference and bringing the Cleveland Cavaliers division to the West and trying to balance it out that way, because most of those are in the middle of the country and middle time zones. And I just found that interesting that Mark Cuban put, I concur, as part of an idea for balancing out, instead of trying to go 1-16 and getting rid of conferences, actually just flip two divisions. Take the middle of the country Western Conference, the Southwest division, with Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, flip them to the East. Now, I don't know if this is going to happen. I just found that interesting that Mark Cuban would agree with that. Say, yeah, I'm in on that deal.
Cubes is just a big fan, man. He's just a rich fan. He was rich enough to buy a team, but he's got the pulse.
He's got
the pulse of a lot of NBA fans out there.
He's the Shark Tank, man.
He is, man. He's a smart guy. And look, if they're not going to 1-16, that's the closest thing you can do.
That's true.
I don't see a point in these conferences anymore, really in all sports, right? I feel like, and I could be wrong on this, but part of the bit why divisions and conferences were made back in the day was because it wasn't so easy to travel across the country.
Yeah, it's more about time. It seemed like it was more about traveling than anything.
And time zones were a big deal. And you only had one game on a week on TV. And you had to make sure you got the important one where everyone could watch. I feel like you can rid yourself of that now. You can get across the country in 4 hours.
Yeah, we used to talk about these games where the Rams would come cross-country. I mean, cross-country what? In your chartered plane where your seats swiveled around and you got all kinds of rooms, and your guys got beds where they can sleep on the way. It's not like you're all jammed up, and you know, some 300 pounders jammed up in a chair anymore. It's not like that anymore.
Well, and certainly for me, I'm a baseball geek and a seamhead. I can name the divisions and who's in them, but most, even you know, hardcore NBA fans couldn't name you who's in what division. I mean, quite honestly, in the NBA these days, and certainly the conferences people know better. But, you know, if you go by divisions, you know, what is the Western Conference Southwest division? Who's in it? You know, whatever, would most people be able to name Houston, New Orleans, San Antonio, Dallas, and Memphis? Well,
no.
Those could be Eastern Conference teams, right? I mean,
to me, it would be okay.
They're all in the Central Time Zone. Three of them are in the state of Texas. Memphis is right in the heart of the country. And you would essentially, according to this Twitter guy that Mark Cuban concurred with, you'd be swapping them out with Cleveland, Indiana, Milwaukee, Detroit, and Chicago. So now all of a sudden you've got a little more balance because you've got a team like the Spurs, the Rockets, playing in the East. And again, I like that from Mark Cuban. At least he is thinking like a fan in that spot.
Yes, he is a big fan.
I am intrigued by the DeMar DeRozan thing. That would be really, really intriguing because, you know, it's in Toronto. We're not following the Raptors. But you have to know that the Raptors, who were the number one seed, they were the top team in the East, but then got swept by LeBron and the Cavs again when this was their year. They had home court. They had Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. I mean, so much so that when the series was over, they fired their coach, who was the coach who was named Coach of the Year. So you know they're a little bit they're looking for a shakeup. I think there's kind of a sense that we can't come back with this same roster because we know what it does come postseason time. But the thing Toronto does have is a lot of depth and a lot of pieces. So I could make an argument that in their mind, you know, swapping Kawhi Leonard and trying on a 1-year plan to try to win the East and maybe kind of like Paul George. Kawhi Leonard falls in love with the city of Toronto, and it works out, and they win the East, and they play in the finals, and they can get Kawhi to sign a long-term deal. Either way, they've seen DeMar DeRozan, and maybe that is kind of where their mindset is we can't come back with the same group. We kind of know the results of that. Maybe they'd be willing to go there, and if the Spurs can be patient and, you know, let this thing play out, maybe they end up with an all-star in return.
Well, they're going to get an all-star, but it's not going to change the fortunes of the Spurs because a switch for DeRozan and It doesn't work to their advantage. They still lose out on a great player. Kawhi Leonard is one of the best top five players. I don't think DeRozan is one of the top five players. But you have to get something, and that something is better than nothing.
Right. Well, exactly right. I mean, when you come to the situation, you're going to trade Kawhi Leonard. I think you have to start with the idea we're not going to get equal value. I mean, we can't. He's one of the best 3 to 5 players in the league when he's healthy and playing,
yes.
And he's 26 years old. I mean, that's we don't want to trade him. But if we're forced to, what's the best thing we can land back with? And if you tell me you're going to get a 28-year-old All-Star who's an All-NBA player, maybe not one of the best 5 players in the league, but one of the best 20
sure.
players in the league who plays his same position to pair with LaMarcus Aldridge. Because again, keep in mind everybody's playing for second place in the NBA. You know, that keeps them a player and a contender in the Western Conference with DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge.
And for Toronto, without LeBron being in the East,
yeah,
thank you very much.
Maybe with Kawhi Leonard and a deep roster and Kyle Lowry still there, let's go make a run at the Eastern Conference and see if we can take down Boston and Philadelphia and play Golden State.
But he's still going to Boston.
Well, that's not what Bovada says or whatever website that
was. Look out for that creepy little Danny Ainge still. He's still around.
No way I'd do a deal with creepy little Danny
Ainge.
By the way, can we mention that while we're on the NBA topic, we'll get to the college football in a moment because we know that's what you care about most. But how about Isaiah Thomas going from a guy who a year ago at this time was thinking about a max contract to signing a, what did he sign, a 1-year deal with the Denver Nuggets?
I saw that today for
$2
million.
$2 million.
And that's almost what they'd pay me just to sign with them, BK.
Dang, I hope. No. Give me some?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
No, that's not going to happen.
$2 million. This guy was thinking max deal.
This dude was like fifth in the MVP race 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And
but you know what?
1 year.
Somebody's going to get a good deal because that guy.
Is he broken, though?
No, I don't think he's broken. I think it's just he has an injury that's like a real live year and a half injury. I think he comes back to be a pretty good player. I think for the $2 million and after that for the 1 year deal, the next group that gets him is going to get a good player because I think he'll be totally healthy. I still don't think he played healthy last year.
Well,
I know people found out.
That tells
I mean,
me, you
he
know,
is little.
You know what? Watching Boston last year without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward and the run that they made and the challenge they presented to Cleveland in the East, and then watching them before with this guy Brad Stevens can flat coach
and
get the most out of players, man. It is unreal what he does.
That's why Kawhi to Boston gets them right there against Golden State in a hell of a battle for 1 year. And maybe Kawhi falls in love with Boston. You can be a hero there in a hurry. Well, as Tom Brady and Larry Bird and all the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean that's
Big Poppy.
But the thing about that is, guess what the Celtics don't want to do? They don't want to give up any of their guys because they're good enough to get to the playoffs without them.
Well, and you
know, not to win.
You know, the soap opera, you know, there's been plenty of soap opera drama with the Patriots this offseason, right? With Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and Bill Belichick coming off the Super Bowl loss. But there's a lot of scuttle that Kyrie Irving.
What?
Is not all that excited to re-up in Boston for whatever reason.
Why is he mad? Because he got hurt and they still play well without him?
I don't know. This dude, Kyrie Irving, appears to be a bit of a diva. That he wants to be in New York with the Knicks, and he's about shoe deals. And these guys are – that he's not – because, again, the Celtics are in the same spot as the Spurs with Kawhi Leonard. Next year, Kyrie can be a free agent come July 1st.
Hey, by the way, if Kyrie Irving – if that team would have just been lousy and done nothing without him, he'd be so excited to be back the following year to be the hero again. Now that they do well – now he's thinking, oh, they're okay without
those
me.
Those are the
you
reports,
mean?
But remember, he was a guy who, if he could have just
guys are such babies.
Kept well enough alone, he could have stayed in Cleveland, and who knows? I mean, he and LeBron could have won, you know, that whole thing.
Was he the guy who wasn't around for the playoffs? Sometimes he wasn't even in the city when they played and stuff like that.
When Cleveland won their championship, he was huge. I mean, he was huge.
Well, not Cleveland, when he was in Boston, when he was injured.
He was there last year.
Was he?
He was on the bench with the team for their run.
He did miss, what, game 7? Because he had some type of medical procedure.
Had a surgery or something.
Yeah,
game.
That's kind of weird, isn't it, at game 7?
That dude is something. He's...
That's what I'm saying. They're all like little mini head cases. You know what I mean? Now, you mean they can do without me? Well, yeah, Kyrie, but that would be really good if you played.
I wouldn't say they all are, but there are some now that are all about themselves, the shoe deals, being the guy, being the man.
Well, like you said yesterday, Chris Paul could have helped keep a couple guys around if he'd have just taken a little less money. But of course, as BK said, he's the head of the Players Association?
That's right.
And you can't go against what you preach?
Yeah. I mean, no one believes that Chris Paul is a max player right now at 33 to be 34 years old. But, you know, that's what the Rockets offered him, and it's costing them key depth on their roster, including
Trevor
Ariza.
Now they go back to struggling to get...
Now they go back to bringing Carmelo Anthony. Awesome.
God.
Awesome.
I mean, for the fans must sit back and go, damn.
Well, the fans look at it and say, okay, Golden State's going to win. Who can finish second? And that's where Toronto is. I think Toronto is in a spot where, you know what, let's get Kawhi for a year, see if we can play in the finals. That'd be great, because no one's going to beat Golden State in this era until something changes. Maybe next year, if Klay Thompson leaves and, you know, Draymond Green moves on or something, things could separate or come back to the pack. But right now it's Golden State and everybody else and playing for second place. And
but I agree with DeRozan, guys. You have to get something. You can't. Or you're going to end up getting
nothing. Well,
if the Spurs
end up with DeMar DeRozan and some other assets from Toronto, well, you jump at that opportunity. I mean, that's as good as you can get.
They got bench players that they can get rid of because they've supposedly had enough depth, so they must have a couple guys on the bench that you have to take along because Kawhi is a depth.
Well, they have done a nice job with young pieces. I mean, one of the reasons that they were so good in the East last year is their depth. I mean, they were 10-11 deep, and their second team was as good as some team's starters in the East, so they racked up all these regular season wins. Become postseason time, their stars didn't rise to the occasion, including DeMar DeRozan. I mean, you know, depth and talent can win you a lot of regular season games, but come postseason, you need star players to play like stars, and Kyle Lowry and DeMar did not. But, you know, you wonder if DeMar in San Antonio with Pop, with LaMarcus and that crew, DeJounte Murray as young point guard, that's not a bad team. I mean, that's not a bad team at all. In the West, if they could pull that deal off. That'd be a bit of a coup in my mind. All right, let's pull some college football out of the bag here. We'll dive in. The Big 12 football media says the Longhorns are going to finish fourth in the Big 12, but Vegas, a little more bullish on those Longhorns. We'll dive into that. Who is right, who is wrong? We'll dive into some college football. 50 days, and even 50 days to the start of the college football season for the Longhorns, Texas and Maryland, 50 days from today on this, the 13th. That's right, Friday the 13th on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the horn, come Monday. It's one of your favorite Jimmy Buffett songs, isn't it? Come Monday.
I don't have any favorite Jimmy Buffett songs.
It'll be all right. Come Monday.
My favorite Jimmy Buffett song is Going, Going, Gone.
You don't like Jimmy Buffett.
I don't.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
He's just fooling people for years and years and years.
I'll be holding you tight.
And he shows up to a concert. He wants you to hear, how about some of my new stuff? Hey, Jimmy, how about the only stuff you know how to play? Your old stuff.
Keep playing
Margaritaville.
Old stuff. Come on. Give me the parrot heads.
Seriously, if you gave me front row seats and Jimmy Buffett was, I don't care, One World Theater, ACL Live, I would pass him on. I would have to pass him up. If he asked me to announce him at the concert. Now, I know he doesn't give a damn. I know what you're thinking out there. Bucky doesn't give a damn about you. He's already making millions off of you phonies that show up with your funny shirts and hats.
Bars and restaurants and Margaritaville. This dude has...
Just pissed because he's hanging out there in Margaritaville all the time.
He's done well, Jimmy Buffett.
Yes.
But come Monday, we will be at Big 12 Football Media Days. Excited to be up there. Our friends at Reliable Automotive, keep it local, keep it reliable, helping us get there as partners in our quest for the college football season. And go get all the information Monday with five coaches and players, and then Tuesday, five more, including Tom Herman. And on Monday, Buck, Lincoln Riley and company will be there. They are the pick by the Big 12 media overwhelmingly to win the Big 12. I was a little bit surprised how overwhelming it was, but obviously Oklahoma's a fallback pick. They typically do win the Big 12 conference, so when in doubt, take the Sooners, even in Lincoln Riley's second year without Baker Mayfield this time around. 46 of the 52 first-place votes go to the Sooners. Now, Longhorns were finished to pick fourth, West Virginia two, but it's very close beyond that. Texas did receive one first-place vote, but heck, K-State received a first-place vote as well in this poll. And that's
I mean, I put them at tied for third. Might as well be tied for fourth with West Virginia. I put K-State in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, and as I mentioned, you know, Vegas, you know, Phil Steele and Vegas are more bullish on Texas than the media, and maybe even Texas fans are. And that's where we'll find out who's right and who's wrong. As we talked about, Phil Steele has Texas finishing second in the Big 12, but just narrowly behind Oklahoma. He's got the Longhorns preseason number 10 in his poll, and Phil Steele's had a pretty accurate magazine over the years.
Well, he's picking Texas for the last couple of years to be a lot closer than they've been.
Yes. Well, I think a lot of Texas fans have hoped for improvement. But Phil Steele actually has Texas playing in the Fiesta Bowl this year against Boise State. So playing one of those, you know, New Year's Day Bowl, whatever they call them these days. Not playing in the playoff, but playing in a New Year's Day Bowl.
So Major Bowl.
Major Bowl, Fiesta Bowl against Boise State, Brian Harsin's group. He also has Oklahoma playing Georgia in the Sugar Bowl just outside the Final Four. So he thinks very highly of both Oklahoma and Texas. But so does, as I mentioned in the headlines, the sports book Bovada. Has Texas is 3-1 odds to win the Big 12, second narrowly just behind Oklahoma. Obviously, Big 12 media a little bit more skeptical and possibly
they've seen
rightfully
it.
So.
Well, they've seen it.
Yeah, until you see it, it's hard to pick them. It's hard to go there. But is this the year that Texas, with some veteran experience and some guys who played a lot of football, and Tom Herman in year two?
Next year for me.
Next year.
Next year for sure, yeah.
Okay. Well,
next year for me. I mean, that's a personal
deal
that I believe.
Well, next year.
But I don't expect them to go backwards this year. I still expect them to go forward.
Need to take a step forward.
Yes.
So there you go. But those are the picks of the Big 12. And it's a wide-open conference. I was surprised for 46 because I was talking to our man Don Miller, who's doing those traffics. And by the way, quick note on the traffic. As he mentioned, 35 is shut down coming north out of Buda, right there at the Hays County, Travis County line. If you're just getting in the car.
That's a speed zone, isn't it, right in that area?
Well, you're just going up over. You're going past Cabela's, and you're going up the hill and back down.
It winds a little bit there.
And the tollway's there.
I mean, that pedal to the metal.
Pedal to the metal, because you're hauling through Kyle, and then you start hitting some traffic. I don't know what happened, but shut down, fatality, wreck. So point being, if you're getting in your car right now, don't get on 35, because you'll get stuck in the parking lot, and you can avoid that on 1626 or find an alternate route. If you live out there like I do, you kind of know those. So try to get ahead of that. But so when you look at the Big 12, Buck, Kyler, I was talking to Don Miller, who does our traffic, and he's a big Oklahoma fan. He's not bullish on Oklahoma. He thinks Kyler Murray will get hurt. He doesn't think.
I think he's very small. I think he's very tiny.
Don Miller's not bullish on the sun coming up today.
That's true.
That dude is more pessimistic than I am, and it's not even close.
Yeah, you two talking sports is very depressing.
He makes me depressed. That's how depressing.
If I go by those two and they're talking, I try to get away from those two. It's like, nope. Not going to be able to play today because there's something coming. There's a meteorite going to hit
Don
right in the middle
is not
of the stadium.
But his point would be, and I'll say this, we've known Don Miller for more than a decade now. He is a Sooner fan. He tends to think Kyler Murray's going to get hurt. And the question is Kyler Murray big in physical? I mean, Kyler Murray's a small guy.
Yeah, he's a little baseball player.
And he likes to run. And he's got a future in baseball. The Oakland A's have drafted him and made him a millionaire already. Within the rules of the
NCAA.
And do
we know how good the other quarterback? I don't know how good the other quarterback is.
Right? I mean, that's why I'm somewhat surprised. I mean, it's Lincoln Riley in year two, but last year Lincoln Riley, you know, took over and it was a ready-made team and Baker Mayfield was the coach on the field. And as I said, there were so many good games last year, including the Texas game, that they don't win without Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield willed them to making plays. And I'm not saying Lincoln's not a great offensive mind and offensive coordinator, but You know, ask Texas. Without that leader, without that quarterback, that guy that everybody looks to in big spots, it's tough to win tight games. It's tough to win close games. Does Oklahoma take a step back becomes the question for me.
And as good as Baker Mayfield was, that offense was dynamic. They did some things. They made you look silly.
They were unbelievable.
They hit them where they ain't. You know what I mean? It's just that's the way they played offense last year. But he had the
perfect maestro, number six, with the ball in his hands. What is Kyler Murray? He hasn't played a lot of football. If he takes off and runs in a physical conference.
I just think he's little. And this isn't a physical conference. He can run around guys here. But he's just a little guy. He's not a very big.
He's slight.
And does he have the arm strength to do the things that Baker Mayfield did? I mean, Baker Mayfield was accurate. He also had a pretty strong arm.
Yes, he did.
But does this guy have that kind of arm? Is he that kind of player?
Well, and
he doesn't have that lot of experience.
Well, and I wonder, where is he mentally, right? When he was at A&M, you know, you had the helicopter dad situation with his father, Kevin, and he didn't like Kevin Sumlin and didn't like this and that. And now he's got a $5 million contract that he's carrying around. This guy's got a future in baseball. Does that become an issue? Does he get a big head about that? Or does he shy away from contact because he doesn't want to get hurt for the baseball season? I think all those things are fair. This guy's coming in to play a year, and there are some in Soonerland, and this is why we're excited to get up to Big 12 Media Days and hear from, because one of the things I love is not just hearing from Lincoln Riley on Monday, but the people who cover Oklahoma will be there, and we'll get to talk to them kind of offline, and we'll have them on the air and talk to them about what they think about the Sooners. But is there a quarterback? Because there are some in Oklahoma who believe they should just move on from Kyler Murray and go to this other kid who's going to be there for two or three more seasons, knowing Kyler's just a one-year deal who may already have his eyes on, you know, on baseball. That will be interesting to me. Meanwhile, you have a team like West Virginia and Dana Holgorsen, who has an established quarterback, and Will Grier, who's the preseason Big 12 Player of the Year.
They've got kind of offense that Oklahoma rolled out there last year. They can score. They'll be able to score a lot of points. Their quarterback is heady. They got two good wide receivers, another good running back.
A really good offensive lineman.
Yeah, they're good offensively, but they're not that good on defense. But can they just hold their water? And do you have to? Can you score with them?
Which is why the team you watch for is Gary Patterson, because Gary Patterson's always going to have a great defense.
Yes.
You know, he's built his program on defense, and he's got some freaks on his roster. You know, it almost for me is between TCU and Texas, which team's offense performs at a higher level, because I expect both Texas and TCU to play some pretty tremendous defense this year in the Big 12 and in college football.
Well, we'll know when we see Gary Patterson smiling or whatever.
Which team's offense is more dynamic becomes a question for me, because that team could move to the front of the line, because he who plays defense in this conference can win this conference, because not everyone's going to be good on offense. Who has the best defense could win the deal.
Well, I know the team that I pushed last year has a couple players on that all Big 12 roster, but I'm not going to throw Texas Tech out there. I'm going to throw my good-looking coach to the wolves this year. That guy's fighting for his life again this year.
Everybody's got an eyewitness account from Hays County. Northbound feeder road is closed out of Buda. Main lanes are open, a little slow. So there you go. There's some good intel. That's some good Highway 35 intel.
Thank you.
So maybe the fatality was on the feeder road, which would make sense. That's kind of off. People fly down that road.
On that feeder road?
Yes. Headed up to the tollway.
Oh, sliding on and sliding off of there?
Yeah. I mean, that's high speeds. People are cruising. So there is some eyewitness intel, which is a good thing. The freeway not shut down. The semi has rolled over on the far right side next to the access road. The whole reason why the traffic is slow on the interstate is because of rubberneckers. Damn rubberneckers.
Just go.
Just go. Nothing to see here.
Well, no, you're going to be going home at noon anyway. It's Friday.
Surprised you're even going to work.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
Surprised you're even going. All right, so your thoughts, Big 12. The
media, I'm just saying, do not underestimate the old ball coach in Manhattan. He's got two quarterbacks, not one. I know you're not believing in it, but BK, the one quarterback we saw last year will be better. That guy, the kid who can
Alex
run,
Delton.
That guy can go.
He's a running back with the ball in his hands.
Yes.
Don't underestimate him to do what? Exactly.
To be in the thick of things in the Big 12.
They might be in the thick of things, but they're not winning this conference. They're always in the thick of things. They're not going to be like
The thick of things are they can beat Texas and screw up things for the Longhorns.
Oh, well, yeah. I expect them to beat Texas.
You know, that's right.
Really?
Longhorns haven't won up there since I was 8 years old, so it's been a while.
When we talked yesterday, you know, I'd said, you know, going up to Lubbock, that sucks. They beat Texas at home twice, but then you told me that up in Lubbock, Texas has won four straight times in Lubbock.
Yeah.
They just can't win. They just can't beat Tech at home.
And they played well in Stillwater. mean, and they've played well in Stillwater, Texas, recently. I mean, and that's they have to. Texas has to go to Stillwater. They have to go to Lubbock, and they have to go to Manhattan. You tell me, Tom Herman, go 2-1 in those three games.
But you said it before. What's it mean? That means they need to win every game at home.
Yeah, they got to go 6-0 at home.
What does it mean? Tell me what it means.
That's exactly right.
You got to win all your home games.
If they want to get back to being a high-level program in college football, you win your home games. You protect home field. Texas has been sloppy at home. And how about one team I'll be interested to talk to when we get up there is Iowa State with this young Matt Campbell. Remember, Iowa State went 8-5 last year, and they were a tough out for Texas in Ames. They beat Oklahoma last year. And they come back with a quarterback in Kyle Kemp, who's been around. Matt Campbell building that program with a bunch of dudes back. That'll be an interesting team for me as well in this Big 12 conference. As most people think, I think a lot of people in the industry believe Matt Campbell is bound for big things, big-time things in college football, that this is not his last
stop. I could have seen him as being the guy who was going to get that Mississippi State job last year. That would have been a jump up, correct?
Well, there are some who think he's waiting around for Urban Meyer to say, I'm done at Ohio State. Now, who knows how much longer that is, but he is the Ohio guy.
The people at Ohio State are going to really think hard and long before making that move, wouldn't they, if that were to happen?
Well, sure. But no, but did they all... That's 2-3 years away. And Matt Campbell signed a nice contract that keeps him in Ames building that program. The intel is that's where he wants to
be. But they can also have in Ames where they have 2 years of winning three games.
We'll see. Yeah, if he does that, then he's off the radar. But keep in mind, Matt Campbell's 38, 39 years old.
I feel like Urban Meyer's due to make up another sickness, right? So he can get out of Ohio State and
go do some TV.
Maybe at USC or somewhere else.
No.
Go do some TV.
Remember Urban Meyer? Urban Meyer did that because he was about to die. First and foremost.
Yeah.
You know, he had heart problems. He was having panic attacks, but he was in the SEC trying to beat Nick Saban. He got out of there and he got to take over. That's where he's from.
That'll give you a panic attack.
He's St. Urban, man. He's from Ashtabula, Ohio. He's back in Ohio, like Matt Campbell. He's an Ohio guy who'd like to, at some point, come home to Columbus. But there you go. There's a little college football chatter on a Friday. Friday the 13th. Are you superstitious or not? We'll dive into that. We've also got some other top stories to dive into that we have not hit yet, but there's good stuff out there today, Buck. Good stuff, and we're making plans. We're coming to you live from Big 12 Media Days on Monday and Tuesday. Excited to get up there. We'll come back. It's B&E on a Friday on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man. How about this on the Spec Text Line, our Big 12 football chatter that says, lose the K-State love, Bucky. Lots of changes at K-State. Folks not happy with the purple wizard.
They're not happy. He's trying to get his son in there to be the head coach.
Well, that's true. He's trying to set it up for the next guy.
Yeah.
The nepotism, which we've seen.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, it typically doesn't go well, though, when son takes over for dad, whether it's a business.
That's interesting.
Or a football team.
I'm trying to figure out what sports that they've turned it over to son that's worked out. I know the Shula thing.
The Bowdens.
Oh, that's right. Terry Bowden. That dude's now he's in the MAC. He's in the MAC Attack League.
Isn't he at Akron? U?
That dude's been there for 12 years now.
Yeah, he's built a nice little program at Akron, or tried to.
That didn't work for him.
You know, that doesn't always work good.
No, I guess not.
You know, another name with offspring coaching. How about the Bryles family? Did you see this story? This is quite disturbing. This is a report that says, according to sources, Art Bryles is finalizing a contract to become the next head coach of Waco High School.
Dude, as long as they keep that crap in Waco, don't bring it outside of Waco. Just stay crazy and weird in Waco, right? Just stay right there. I don't think it's fine that guy ever coaches anywhere again. But if he is going to be on the football field with young people, keep it in a place that's wacky as it is anyway, right there. No place else.
Hey.
Right? You know, I mean, you don't want him in like Pflugerville, do you?
No.
Keep him in Waco.
I don't want him anywhere near my kids.
Keep him in Waco and that wall or fence that they have down there.
Other cities have brains and hearts. Waco does not.
No, just leave it right there.
He's still got Baylor fans who will defend that dude until he dies.
Oh, come on. Serious? I mean, like, really?
I am not kidding you.
No, I thought people gave up that ship.
Especially after what... Oh, ship. Okay. Especially after what the old AD, Ian McCall, said a couple weeks ago. Said it was just to cover up what was happening at the rest of the university. I saw plenty of chatter on social media. People like, oh, Bryles was...
He was canned.
Railroaded.
Yeah. Unfairly canned.
Well, look, I do think the last three decades of history will tell you that the people that run Baylor at the higher levels, the regents, I mean, there's a high level of corruption there and has been for a long time. The Patrick Dennehy story, as you've seen that great Showtime documentary, we talked to the creator of that, Pat Condellis. I mean, that thing is a shame. But a lot of the same people who were involved.
Yeah, now they're just bringing it to the high school level now down there.
Well, but that's an Art
Leave
Briles thing. But I think Art Briles should be around young people after what we've seen? No. Not at all. And do I think Ian McCaw and Art Briles are faultless for what went on at Baylor? No. But do I think there's a higher level of a systemic problem at that university with its board of regents? Yes, I do. And they were, because whether it was hiring Dave Bliss, who had allegations of cheating. I mean, Dave Bliss was at SMU when SMU's football program was cheating. Then he was in trouble at New Mexico. They're fine to hire renegade coaches and let them do what they need to do to win. And that's pretty clear as a university and cover up issues because the Patrick Dennehy story was a full time cover up. There was a full cover up with Carlton Dotson and a total scam job.
And the police and everybody else there.
Yeah. And all you gotta do is watch that documentary on Showtime, that Pat Condellis did. But again, a lot of the same people who were in control of Baylor then are still there in the Board of Regents. So I'm not saying there's not complicit, behavior all the way to the top.
Yeah.
But does that mean Art Briles wasn't complicit in his actions? No question. No question. And should he be coaching high school football? No.
But if he is to be coaching high school football,
Better in Waco than in my neighborhood.
That's right.
Heck, there's a brand new high school that they're building right out by my house in Hayes County.
Don't make a phone call to him.
No.
Keep him right where he is.
No. I mean, it's like 2 miles from my house. No, thank you. No, thank you, Art Briles. The brand new Johnson High School out there.
It's hard to believe they would do that in high school. More so than anything, if he's some college level assistant coach at Liberty College or somewhere, someplace that beats Baylor, but. It's just amazing that a high school group would do that.
I've always said, I've always predicted he's going to get a job somewhere.
I did too. I said the same. Nope, they'll hire him.
I did not think it would be at the high school level. I thought it'd be what you said, right? He'd start as an assistant somewhere, some smaller D1 college or maybe FCS or whatever, and then work his way back up. But high school.
Remember, he was the king of Stephenville.
That he was.
For a long time, too. And who knows what was going on there. By the way, that Showtime film is disgraced, and it is a disgrace. Because remember, if the young coach on Dave Bliss's program, the brand new hired director of basketball operations, hadn't recorded conversations of Dave Bliss in the wake of the Patrick Dennehy murder, trying to smear that guy, that thing would have gotten covered up too. If not for the audio recordings, who knows how long Dave Bliss is still coaching
at
Baylor?
Says Buck Briles shouldn't be coaching anywhere, especially high school. You're right, Chris. He shouldn't be. But if he were to, leave it right there. Please, just leave it right there forever. Let him finish out his year. But I can't believe a bunch of high school and high school parents don't get it.
But if you go watch the Showtime Disgraced about the Patrick Dennehy story and you realize that the court-appointed attorney for Carlton Dotson in that case, who ramrodded a deal through that put him in jail and didn't get him a proper defense, that person is now the district attorney of the county.
Somebody says Chip and JoJo doing their greatest renovation job ever, getting Art Briles a coaching gig in Waco.
Oh, man.
The biggest renovation ever.
Chip and JoJo are the greatest thing ever to come out of Waco, except for maybe Dr. Pepper.
Health camp.
Health camp in there. Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It's a burger joint. Very good.
Chip and JoJo. The silos, baby.
Nah.
Fixer upper. By the way, I have an update on what their next project is. Chip and JoJo.
They're moving on because they're in every, I think they're in the Walmarts right now. They're everywhere.
They're taking over. Yeah. They're a brand. They're going to rival Oprah at some point. People love them. They don't love Art Briles, though, but football fans do. We'll be back. B&E on the Horn.